Thanks for listening to Tuned to Yesterday's Encore broadcasts. Do you enjoy the historical aspect of these old shows? Would you like to hear more in-depth tales of the performers and players that made the golden age of radio what it was? We have a weekly podcast dedicated to this called the Tuned to Yesterday Dialer, or TTY Dialer for short. It brings you stories of how radio was, along with fun with sound from radio's past, and a brief preview of the shows coming up for the week. The podcasts are about 20 minutes long, and they're posted Saturday nights and make for great listening on Sundays or whenever you want. It's the TTY Dialer podcast at WRVO.org, or listen as part of your subscription to Tuned to Yesterday on iTunes. Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, for an hour of radio westerns. Later on, we'll hear tales of the Texas Rangers with a true story of crime from 1951. Right now, it's John Daner as Paladin, and Half Gun Will Travel. You may remember the TV series in the 1950s with Richard Boone, and this was one of the few to go to radio second during and after its TV run. From September 20th, 1959 on CBS, the story, Stardust.
Choice is yours. You either try to outdraw me or turn around and ride out of here while you're still alive. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, hello, hey boy. I didn't expect you to be at the desk this morning.
Oh, Esau, desk clerk asked me to stay here while he have breakfast. Why are you up so early?
Oh, couldn't sleep. Thought I'd pick up the paper and have breakfast in the dining room.
Oh, a telegram come for you a few minutes ago.
No?
Here.
Thank you.
I have newspapers all sorted. I get them.
No, just one of the San Francisco papers for now, hey boy.
Oh, okay. Here's the Alta California. Not much interesting news in paper today, Mr. Paladin. A telegram interesting?
Oh, yes, very. Do you remember Lola Blackwood?
Lola Blackwood?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. A very famous actress who stays at Carlton when she comes to play at California Theater.
That's right.
Oh, very nice lady friend of Mr. Paladin. Hey, boy, not see her for a long time. Is she coming back?
No, she retired from the theater about a year ago.
Oh, too bad. I don't know. A lovely lady as Miss Blackwood should always be seen by many people. Why she sent telegram?
Says she needs help. Wants me to come at once.
You go?
Yes, as soon as I pack.
Oh, hey, boy, send answer to telegram?
No, just get me a seat on the next stage to Sacramento. In Sacramento, I rented a horse and started on my journey to the town of Grass Valley. It had been over a year since I had last heard from Lola Blackwood, and she had written a letter at that time telling me that she was tired of touring the country as an actress and had decided to buy a ranch and settle down in Grass Valley. My ride along the American River to the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas was filled with the thoughts of this beautiful woman. When I tied my horse to the hitch rail outside the Grass Valley Hotel, I noticed a carriage standing alongside the boardwalk a few yards down the street. And sitting in the carriage with a young girl was the lovely Lola Blackwood.
Lola!
Lola!
Oh, Paladin, how delightful
to see
you.
Well, it's so good to see you, too.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Oh, my.
It's been such
such a long time.
Well, it's been almost 2 years.
You mean 2 centuries? I was in San Francisco and I was playing a theater.
And there wasn't a dry handkerchief left in the Californian theater.
I just can't believe it's
Lola.
Really you. Oh, Paladin, I want you to meet Laurie Gallagher.
Hello, Laurie.
How do you do, Mr. Paladin?
I'm sure Laurie feels that she already knows you.
Aunt Lola's told me many wonderful things about you.
Oh, well, your Aunt Lola's a very gracious lady, but I'm afraid she's forgotten to tell me that she had such a beautiful niece.
Oh, well, I'm not really her niece.
Laurie has been living with me for several months, Paladin, ever since her mother passed away.
Oh.
She and her mother traveled with our company. Before she died, they came to live with me. I promised her I'd take care of Laurie.
I see. And I suppose you're going to be an actress too, Laurie, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm working very hard.
A natural-born actress. I'm very proud of her. She's almost 13 now. In another 2 years, you may have the good fortune to see a perfect Juliet at your California theater.
Wonderful. She'll be just the right age for the part.
Oh, yes. Well, I just can't get over this delightful surprise. What brings you into Grass Valley?
Your telegram.
My what?
Well, you sent me a wire asking me to come.
Oh, there must be some mistake.
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand, Lola. Wait a minute. Here's the wire I received.
Let me see that. Need your help desperately. Most urgent, you come to Grass Valley. Signed, Lola Blackwood. Well, I didn't send this.
Then who did?
I've no idea.
Huh. Well, there's one way to find out who sent it.
How, Mr. Paladin?
I go to the telegraph office and get a verification from their files.
Aunt Lola, why don't you ask Mr. Paladin to stay with us while he's here?
Oh, now, Laurie, maybe Mr. Paladin had rather stay in town. I'm sure it would be much too dull for him at the ranch.
Uh-oh, here comes Boone.
Who is this man, Lola?
Why, Boone, this is Mr. Paladin, an old friend of mine from San Francisco. Paladin, this is Boone Caldwell.
How do you do?
You're a long way from San Francisco. What brings you here?
Business trip.
Not much business in Grass Valley for a man who wears his gun like you do.
Why, Boone.
It's a peaceful town.
And I'm a peaceful man.
You ready to go back to the ranch, Lola?
Yes, Boone.
I'll ride out to see you tonight, Lola, after I check on this telegram.
Well, maybe
it... What did you say, mister?
I said I would be paying my respects to Miss Blackwood this evening.
Well, you might as well know. Miss Blackwood and I are going to be married. Her old friends won't be welcome at the ranch anymore.
But Mr. Paladin isn't just an old friend. He's someone very special
sit
to Aunt Lola.
Sit still, youngster, and be quiet.
Boone Caldwell.
She makes me fidgety. Kids should be seen and not heard.
What Laurie said was true. And Mr. Paladin will be welcomed at my ranch any time he so desires.
These are my decisions to make now, Lola, not yours. Paladin, do you understand?
I'm afraid I don't.
Well, stay away from Lola. I can't make it any clearer than that. Here. Howdy.
Hello.
Want to send a wire? You should write it out in one of those forms.
No, thanks. I came in to ask you if you might remember who sent me this telegram. Came to me in San Francisco 3 days ago.
It says right here, Lola Blackwood.
Yeah. But did she come into this office to send it?
She'd have to. The only telegraph office in town.
Do you actually remember her coming in?
Well, now that you mention it, I don't think she did. Seems I recall that little girl that lives with Miss Blackwood. What is her name?
Laurie?
Yeah, that's the one, Laurie. I remember now. She came in here with this message already printed on a piece of paper. Told me Miss Blackwood would play the charges later on.
No, don't bother Miss Blackwood with the charges. This should take care of it.
Oh, yes, sir. It sure does.
Thank you.
the Grass Valley Hotel, I learned that Boone Caldwell was a professional gambler and controlled the gaming table at the Red Dog Saloon. I wanted to talk to Lola alone, so before I rode out to visit her, I stopped by the saloon to see if Boone was there. He was busy at the tables. 20 minutes later, I pulled up at the ranch house.
It was a gunshot, Aunt Lola. I know it was.
Stay back, Lori. I'll see.
Why, it's Paladin. Paladin. Lori, go find Ching Hao. He can help us take him in the house. Lori, please hurry.
Yes, ma'am.
Paladin, can you hear me?
Oh. Lola, somebody took a shot at me.
Well, it creased your forehead just above the eye.
Yeah.
Can you stand up?
Well, I think so.
Let me help you.
No, I'm all right.
We'd better go in the house.
Wait a minute. Listen. The man who shot me is probably on that horse. I'm going after him.
Paladin, wait! Don't go!
Stand, boy.
Paladin! I know who it is.
Who?
Come inside. We can talk there.
Lola told me that a man named Judd had probably done the shooting. He had been hired by Boone to watch over the place at night while Boone was working in town. Before I could learn more, we were interrupted by Laurie and the Chinese cook, Ching Hao. Laurie was pleased to see that I no longer needed assistance and proceeded to apply a bandage to my forehead. Lola asked Ching Hao to make some coffee, and then she took Laurie upstairs to get her ready for bed. A few minutes later, she returned, carrying a tray from the kitchen.
Coffee's ready.
Oh, good. Is Laurie asleep?
Not yet. How's your head feel?
Much better, thanks to her nursing care.
Well, this coffee should help you, too.
You're both very considerate.
Things were different. I could be much more hospitable.
What's between you and Boone Caldwell, Lola? Are you really going to marry him?
No. At one time I was, but not now.
No. I didn't think so.
He's a despicable man. I despise him. So strange.
Strange?
Yes. Boone came into town several months ago. I met him then. He was very attentive to Laurie and me. We loved him at the beginning. I was having financial trouble at the time. What money I had left was dwindling away, so I decided to put the ranch up for sale. Nobody wanted to buy. Boone said that since we were going to be married anyway, that he would make the mortgage payments and take over the bookkeeping. I was very thankful when he did. I never was very good at bookkeeping.
Well, how did it work out under his management?
Well, the ranch worked out fine. But Laurie and I didn't do so well. I'm afraid he owns most of the ranch now.
And this is what made you dislike him so much?
Oh, it happened gradually. He changed.
Oh.
Started treating Laurie like she didn't belong here. Wanted to send her away to a foundling home back east. I begged him out of that.
Uh-huh.
It got so that he would tell me every move I should make. After a while, I knew I could never be possessed by anyone like him.
Well, then you should leave. Just get away. You could always go back with the touring company.
Laurie would love that. I told Boone I was going to. But he threatened to kill me if I ever try it. We couldn't get 10 miles out of this valley without him knowing about it. He's got his man, Judd, watching us whenever he can't be here. There's no use, Paladin. We're prisoners until Boone gets tired of us and leaves. That's my only hope.
Wait a minute. Listen. There's someone riding up out front.
That must be Judd and Boone. I could have guessed Judd would go tell him you were here.
Oh, well, I'll go outside.
No, Paladin. They'll try to kill you. Stay in here, and I'll see that you leave peaceably. There's no use in your getting hurt because of my troubles.
Oh. They're my troubles now, too, Lola. Or have you forgotten the bandage on my forehead?
I told you this afternoon to stay away from Lola.
I heard you say something like that before you rode away, but you didn't wait long enough for me to give you my answer.
Get on your horse and clear out of here. I'm not going to waste any more words with you, Paladin.
Your friend Judd doesn't like to waste words either. Do you ambush everybody who walks to this door after sundown, Judd?
I wasn't trying to shoot you, mister. That was only to scare you off.
You're just lucky you did hit me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lived long enough to ride in after Boone.
Get off my ranch, Paladin.
No, Boone, I won't be leaving. You will. Get on your horses and move out, both of you.
Nobody talks to me like that. Shoot him, Judd.
Don't try it, Judd.
You killed Judd. Didn't even give him a chance to draw.
He reached for his gun.
You're a cold-blooded killer, Paladin. But I've taken care of men like you before.
I believe you. Professional gamblers usually know how to take care of themselves. My gun is back in its holster if you want to try to outdraw me.
There's no other way, is there?
It's up to you. Make your choice. My advice is to turn around and ride out of here while you're still alive.
I don't need your advice.
Paladin?
All right, Lola.
Is he dead?
Both of them.
I was so afraid for you. I'm sorry you had to get mixed up with my troubles.
I wouldn't have come here if I hadn't wanted to.
I'm grateful, Paladin.
No. You can thank Laurie.
Laurie?
Mm-hmm. She sent the telegram.
I'd forgotten about the telegram. How did... Oh, Laurie. Poor Laurie.
Why do you say that?
She must never know, Paladin. Boone was her father.
Her father?
Yes. Boone left her mother before Laurie was born. Her mother gave me a picture of him before she died. Told me to destroy it so that Laurie would never see it. I kept the picture for a while. It wasn't until after I'd fallen in love with Boone that I remembered to get rid of it. I hardly recognized him from the photograph at first. The years had changed him so much. But I knew it was he.
Did you ask him about it?
Yes, but he denied everything. Said he was never married, never knew Laurie's mother. After that, he started showing his hatred for the child. I realized then what kind of a man he really was. But it was too late to do anything about it.
Aunt Lola?
I'll be right there, Laurie. I better go in and tell her what's happened. Don't let her know about Boone, Paladin.
Oh, no. Don't worry, Lola. I won't. Well.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, Miss Wong.
Welcome home. You come back last night?
Yes, the stage didn't get in till almost midnight.
Oh, you have a nice trip?
Very nice.
Oh. Please excuse Mr. Wong. I will be back to finish making up your bed in a few minutes.
Where are you going?
To get another girl to help, Mr. Wong. When I bend over to make up bed, my head becomes very dizzy.
Oh, something wrong? Don't you feel all right?
Oh, I think so, but Missy Wong head all filled with champagne.
Champagne?
Yes, sir, champagne.
Oh.
We have a big birthday party for Honorable Aunt last night. Missy Wong drink too much champagne.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Was Hey Boy at the party?
Oh, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And how does he feel this morning?
I not know. He not come to work yet.
Ooh. He must have had a lot of champagne, too.
Yes, much more as Missy Wong. Maybe he dizzy this morning, too?
More than likely. Knowing Hey Boy, I wouldn't expect him to come to work at all today.
Oh, poor Hey Boy.
Young men, Do you want training in auto mechanics, construction, electronics? Now you can choose your training before enlistment. It's up to you. The Army's new choose-it-yourself system lets you pick valuable training before you enlist. Here's how it works. First, you choose before enlistment. Choose your training from fields like auto mechanics, missiles, aircraft maintenance, meteorology, surveying, and many more. Second, you qualify before enlistment. Take aptitude and physical exams to qualify for the training you've chosen. And third, you know before enlistment. If you qualify, you know you'll get the training you want. Your choice is written into your future Army record, guaranteed before you enlist. Choose it yourself before enlistment in the United States Army. See your Army recruiter today. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Mr. Paris. Featured in the cast were Ann Whitfield, Tim Graham, Lawrence Dobkin, and Gene Bates. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Gun Will Travel on Tuned to Yesterday from September 20th, 1959 on CBS. The story Stardust was written by the producer and director of that broadcast, Frank Paris, who got his credited start in radio as assistant producer and director for the Lux Radio Theater in the early 1950s. And after his long run with Have Gun Will Travel, wrapped up with being an adapter for episodes of Gunsmoke. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now on to Tales of the Texas Rangers with a true story called Joyride, an NBC broadcast from May 27th, 1951.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Joyride.
It is 9:40 p.m., December 3rd, 1946. The small town of Purdy, Texas, is quiet and ready for sleep as a car turns off the state highway and into the main street. At the wheel of the car is a pimply-faced youth. Beside him, a young girl.
That car still behind us?
No, it kept right on the highway. What are you so jumpy about?
The way he was tagging us, I thought it might be the highway patrol.
You are getting chicken, ain't you, Chuck?
I ain't fixing to go back to no reform school, that's all.
Oh, stop worrying. This car ain't even reported stolen yet. You saw the owner go into the movie, didn't you?
Okay, Ruby, okay.
Fine joyride. Thought we was going to have fun. Ain't even got anything to drink.
I ain't got any money.
Didn't have no car either when we started. Ain't like you used to be, Chuck. We used to have lots of fun. Till you turn yellow.
Don't you go calling me that. I ain't got a gun, that's all.
I got one, Chuck, right here in my purse.
Where'd you get it?
I lifted it from my old man. What difference does it make where I got it, long as I got it? So look at the store up ahead, Chuck. See the sign?
I see it.
Can't hardly have a joyride without something to drink.
It's late. They roll up the sidewalks in a town like this. The place must be closed.
If it was closed, sign wouldn't be late. Gonna stop, or ain't you?
Sure, I'm gonna stop.
See? Storekeeper's still there. Can see him through the window.
Counting up money from his cash register.
Could have a real party with something to drink and some money.
Stay here. Keep the motor running. Give me the gun.
No, I'm gonna come in with you. I can handle the gun.
You crazy? Suppose he's got a gun, too.
Look, he's an old man. He wouldn't dare do nothing. Come on, Chuck. We can't just sit here.
You better not get rattled.
Look who's talking. You're coming, or ain't you?
All right, I'm coming. But be careful.
I always wanted to do something like this.
Shut up.
Oh, howdy.
Howdy.
Well, we're just fixing the clothes. Heard your car pull up outside. I thought it was my old lady coming to get me. What can I do for you?
I'd like a fifth of that bonded bourbon.
Oh, you would, eh? How old are you, son?
21.
19 would be closer, wouldn't it? Maybe a year less than that for your lady friend here.
I said I was 21.
All right, boy. We'll say you're 21. And we'll also say that I'm closed for the night. Now you can just run along. 19, 20.
We ain't running any place, mister.
Now, you just get... What? Where'd you get that gun?
I made it out of old bottle top, stupid. He told you what we want. It's on the top shelf. Get up on the stool and get it.
All right. Just don't... Go getting nervous with that thing.
Get the money out of the register, Chuck.
Yeah, the money.
You ain't going to be happy about this. When you see the inside of a jail.
Thanks for telling us. Because here's something you ain't going to be happy about.
No! No! Oh! Ruby! Ruby, you killed him!
I know, Chuck, I know.
Come on. Come on, we got to get out of here.
No, we're not what we come for. Grab a couple of bottles.
Ruby, are you crazy?
You're afraid, ain't you, Chuck? Get the bottles.
All right, all right. Now, let's go, let's go. Come on.
I always wondered.
The body of Malcolm Barnes, proprietor of the liquor store, was discovered by his wife less than 5 minutes after the killing. Sheriff Frank Corcoran was summoned. He immediately phoned for the help of a Texas Ranger. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned, arriving at the scene of the crime at 1 a.m. Coming through, folks. Howdy, Frank.
Oh, howdy, Jace. Was hoping they'd send you. Here's a body.
He's the owner of the store?
Yeah, Malcolm Barnes. Wife found him just like he is at about 10 or 10. Usually closed just before 10. She'd always come pick him up in their car. Doc figured it couldn't have happened more than just a few minutes before she got here.
Where's the doc?
Drove over to see about the funeral parlor. Body will be taken there for autopsy when we finish. I've had everything photographed. Cash register's been rifled.
Shot through the back 3 times.
Hey, watch out for that broken glass.
Yeah, I'm watching.
Place sure smells with all the bottles smashed. Alcohol dries up fast.
Yeah, left big stain rings, though. Puddled right out to here before it dried out. Any of your deputies or anybody pick up any of those bottles that are cracked or broken?
No, I got here right after Mrs. Barnes. Nobody's touched a thing. Why?
Well, floor spotted past those stain marks. Look toward the door, a string of small spots. Like something been carried that way, dripping.
Jace, I was careful to see that nothing was touched, that nobody stepped in where the liquor had been spilled.
Those spots might be a break for us then, because somebody carried a bottle out of here. It must have been cracked and leaking.
You mean the killer might have grabbed it up?
That's right. If it marked this floor, it'd mark the walk outside, too. Come on, let's take a look.
Spots run right to the door, all right. Lucky I told the deputies to keep everybody off the side of the place.
Yeah, careful where you step.
I want to run a flashlight along the sidewalk here.
It's been mighty dry around here, Jace. Dust surface on the ground.
That'll help us. Yeah. It's here, all right. Look, little craters in the dust dried out hollow.
Yeah. They only go a few feet. Marks end right here at the curb.
That tells us something. Whoever was carrying that bottle got into a car. They weren't on foot.
Tire tracks aren't going to help us. Mess of them all around from cars driving in and out.
Yeah, I wish our killer had been on foot, Frank.
Why?
That'd point to somebody who came from close by. Somebody in the town.
Car doesn't rule that out.
No, but it sure broadens the field. I'm going to call Austin and have a lab crew sent in. If we're lucky, they might lift a fingerprint or something for us to work on.
That's a good idea. Phone in the store. Over there.
Uh-huh.
You got anything in mind for us while we're waiting?
Yeah. After I call Austin, I want to check with local officers in every town around here. I'm pretty sure the killer took liquor, and if he took it, he's going to drink it. We'll check on every case of drunk driving that turns up tonight in this county. Lights burned in the liquor store all through the night as the lab crew checked. Meanwhile, the sheriff and I covered more than 200 miles by car, investigating drunk driving cases reported by local constables and highway patrolmen.
Sun's coming up, Jace. We sure spent the night running into blind alleys. None of those drivers we saw could have been anywhere near Purdy at the time of the killing.
Well, alibi's all checked out. Maybe the lab crew will have a lead for us when we get back to the liquor store.
Didn't you get some kind of report on the shortwave before while I was dozing? I kind of remember you talking.
Yeah. I ordered to phone headquarters for a ballistic report. Barnes was killed by a .38 police special.
Well, that's our first lead.
We need more than that before we
KTXA
can...
KTXA to Unit 10.
Yeah, that's us.
KTXA to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Highway Patrol Unit 109 requests Unit 10 to proceed to junction of Ranch Road 23 and State Highway 19 west of Bartonville to examine stolen car recovered at that point.
10-4. Does Unit 109 think stolen vehicle may have connection with this unit's current investigation of murder?
Unit 109 reports liquor bottles found in abandoned vehicle.
10-4. Unit 10 heading for rendezvous with 109 immediately. We'll keep you informed.
10-4.
Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
Hold tight, Frank. Gotta swing around.
Let's hope this is a break.
Better be. We need one. Highway Patrol Unit 109 was Tommy Manuelo's unit. We spotted his car, and he flagged us down near the junction of the ranch road. The stolen car he'd located was parked off the road in a small grove of trees.
I found it just before sunup, Chase. I was making the turnoff. My headlights reflected on the chrome. Just barely saw it. Then when I checked the license number, it was on my hot car sheet. Number came over by shortwave last night.
Now, what time last night this car was reported stolen?
I got the flash a little after 11 o'clock.
Barnes was killed before 10.
I know, but this car could have been missing from 8 o'clock on. Owner went to a picture show about then. Car was gone when he came out.
Where was the car taken from, Tommy?
Bartonville. Only 4 miles from here on the state.
About 60 miles from here to Purdy, Jace.
Yeah, but if the car was taken at 8 o'clock or a little after, the thief had plenty of time to drive to Purdy before 10 o'clock. KTXA said you found some liquor bottles in the car, Tommy.
Yeah, that's right. I'll show you. There you are. Empty fifth on the floor in the front seat, and there's one half empty there in the back.
I'll open the back door.
Government tax seal on that bottle isn't even broken.
No. I didn't notice, eh? Well, I could have emptied half of it without breaking the seal and pulling the cork.
The bottle must be cracked. Stain around it on the floor, Matt, where it's been leaking. Just what we've been looking for, Jason.
Yeah. Pick the bottle up, Frank. Don't touch the glass. Lift it with your fingers pinched around the tax stamp.
Right.
Drips all right. Chip out of the bottom. Wonder why I didn't all empty out.
Well, would have the bottle been standing up instead of lying flat. It emptied down until the liquor was even with the place the bottle was cracked. Then it couldn't run anymore until you picked it up.
Might get some prints off of it, or maybe the empty bottle in the front seat.
We can try. It's a cinch we're not going to get any from the steering wheel.
No, I noticed that right away. Not with the cloth cover around the wheel. Might get something from the dashboard or the inner door handles, but well, I don't know. Not often you pick up good prints on a car.
There's a piece of cleansing tissue on the floor there. Here.
Looks like lipstick stain on it.
That's what it is. Another little thing on the floor mat here.
Ah, gold bobby pin.
Yeah. Lipstick is kind of a light shade.
Could have been a woman in this too, Jace.
Hmm. Probably a blonde.
Of course, that bobby pin and the tissue might have come from the owner's wife or his girl.
Oh, I doubt that, Sheriff.
How come, Tommy?
Well, owner of the car is a colored man, Jace.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. In a short while, Theater Guild on the Air brings to radio listeners a delightful adaptation of Ring Lardner's famous comedy of the baseball world, Elmer the Great. Starring in the title role will be Hollywood favorite Paul Douglas, as a pitcher whose skill on the baseball diamond is exceeded only by his good nature and ability to attract trouble. That's later today for Elmer the Great, starring Paul Douglas, presented by Theater Guild on the Air.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and tonight's case, Joyride, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
I put out a call for the lab crew to meet us at the stolen car when they finished checking the liquor store at Purdy. They joined us within 2 hours. Nothing had been found at the store that would help us, and it didn't take long to realize that we weren't going to get any evidence from the car or the bottles either.
Doesn't look like they're going to find anything, Jace.
Yeah, if they don't, it won't be their fault. No point in our hanging around here.
Want to drive back to Purdy now?
I think we'd do better if we drove into Bartonville.
Because the car?
It was stolen from Bartonville, then brought back here to a spot only 4 miles away from where it was taken. Figures that whoever stole it must live nearby, or the car would have been left someplace else.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Let's try Bartonville.
Good. We're going to leave you, fellas. If you find anything, let us know by short wave.
Right.
So long.
So long.
Right. You going to try to run down that lipstick and bobby pin?
Gave Tommy Manuelo the tissue, the lipstick smear. It's been sent through to Austin. They've established the lipstick brand by chemical analysis. They'll also check on the manufacturer, the bobby pin.
Think it'll take long to get a report?
No, not long. Tommy may have it by the time we get into town. He'll be at the courthouse.
You got a plan mapped out?
Yeah, won't be too many places handling lipstick and bobby pins. We get the brand names, Tommy and I can check the stores and see if sales girls remember any women who use that shade of lipstick or the pins.
What do I do, check into the hotel and get some sleep?
No. We got one more thing to look for. The gun that killed Barnes. Check with a constable and get a list of anybody he knows who might own a .38 police special.
Yeah, that might uncover something. May have some records of people who've had guns like that being picked up on minor charges in the past.
It's worth checking. We match the bullet that killed Barnes, and we can make some work for a 12-man jury. Tommy Manuelo had the information on the lipstick and bobby pin examined by the Austin lab. We started the check of drugstores and general merchandise outlets that carried the items. We couldn't get any concrete information from sales girls or clerks.
Well, another drugstore on the next corner, Jace. You know, some of these sales clerks don't seem to have very long memory.
You can't blame them. Things we're tracing are both cheap items. Girl on her feet all day gets so she can't remember much except bunions.
I guess you're right. I sure hope the sheriff is doing better than we are.
I hope so, too.
Hey, Jace, Tommy, wait up.
Hold it, Tommy. Here comes Frank now.
Yeah. I've been tracking you for 20 minutes.
You finished checking already?
Yeah. And I come across something I think we ought to look into right away, Jace. There's a fella named Jim Hammer filed a report with a constable last night, just before midnight. Said a gun been stolen from his house, 38 police special.
Hey, isn't that what Barnes was killed with, Jace?
Yeah. Get any information on this Jim Hammer?
Yeah, sure did. He's night watchman around the cattle pens over to the auction barn. Told the constable he'd missed a gun when he was getting ready to go to work last night. Couldn't find it in the drawer he keeps it in.
You get Hammer's address?
Yep, 214 North Spruce.
Tommy, you keep checking the stores. We'll meet you at the courthouse later.
Right, Jay.
All right, Frank. I left my car on Main Street. Let's go.
Oh,
like to talk to Jim Hammer.
He ain't home.
You know where we can find him?
Over to the auction barn, maybe.
I thought he was the night watchman over there.
Yeah, he goes there during the day sometimes when there's a sale. There was auctioning this afternoon.
You look kind of young. You're not his wife, are you?
No, I'm his daughter, Scooby Hammer.
It's after 5 o'clock, Jase. Auction probably be over by now.
Yeah. You expect your father to come home to eat?
No, he'll probably spend some time chinning around the barn and maybe get himself some grub in town and go right to work.
I see. I guess we might as well go over at the auction barn, Frank.
What'd you want to see my father about? Is it something about some stolen cattle or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Thanks, miss. Bye.
Bye, Ruby.
Bye. You missed my father. I'll tell him you were here.
Thanks. Where's the auction barn?
West end of town.
Jim Hammer wasn't hard to find. He was pointed out to us talking to cattlemen who'd bought stock at the auction and were waiting for a chance to load their purchases on their trucks at the end of a chute. We called him off to the side.
Well, Sheriff Ranger, what can I do for you?
Constable says you had a gun stolen from your home last night.
Oh, that. Gun wasn't stolen at all.
Huh?
Reckon I just didn't look sharp enough last night. Found it this afternoon, but in a different drawer from where I usually keep it.
Is that the gun you're carrying right there in your holster?
Yeah.
You mean to say you just took a look in one drawer last night before coming to work and reported that gun stolen without being sure?
Well, I was sure last night. I reckon I just overlooked it, that's all.
It's pretty hard to overlook a .38 police special. You couldn't have looked very hard.
Well, I all but emptied the bureau out. I was in a hurry to get to work. I guess I just plain missed it, that's all. Ain't no reason for you to jump on a man.
You reported to the constable when you thought the gun was missing. Now, how come you didn't let him know you'd found it?
Well, I suppose I should have. I didn't think it was no rush. Besides, what's the harm? It's my gun, ain't it?
Let's have it.
Well, sure I...
Don't you pull it. Just turn around. I'll take it myself.
Hey, what...
You said turn around.
Okay.
When'd you fire this gun last, Hammer?
I can't even remember the last time. Ain't had no call to fire it.
Haven't, huh? Smell this, Frank.
Yeah, it's been used all right not long ago.
You're crazy, I tell you. I ain't fired that gun in months.
Somebody has. You better come with us.
Come where with you?
To the courthouse, Hammer, until we check on a few things.
Check on what?
A liquor store owner named Barnes was killed last night in Purdy. Shot 3 times through the back by a .38 police special.
Are you trying to frame me for something? I was nowhere near Purdy last night.
We know you filed a report with the constable around midnight, Hammer. But where were you between 9 and 11 o'clock last night?
I was home, sleeping. My daughter can tell you that.
Well, go ahead, Hammer. What are you stopping for?
My daughter wasn't home. I just remembered she went out about 7 o'clock.
And nobody saw you during those hours, huh?
No, nobody. But I was home, I tell you. You got to believe me. That gun ain't been fired.
If we're wrong, you've got nothing to worry about. Come on.
Yeah, I'll have to get that gun to your lab, Jase. Regular flight to Austin goes out in about 45 minutes.
Good. The boys in ballistics can test fire it and check the slug with the ones taken out of Barnes. If this is the murder weapon, they'll tell us.
I tell you, it can't be.
Our lab doesn't make any mistakes, Hammer. If you're telling the truth, there's a little test you can volunteer to take. We have a lab crew working nearby right now. I'll give you a diphenylamine test.
What's that?
Just a matter of pouring a chemically treated wax on your hand. When they peel it off, it'll show traces of nitrate if you fired a gun recently.
I haven't, I tell you.
I heard you. Now I'd like to hear it from a lab man, just to be sure. We got the gun on the night plane to Austin. The stolen car had been brought into a garage in town. We waited for the lab crew to finish with it and then had one of the men go to work on Hammer's hands. By 10 p.m., we had the answers. 2 answers that didn't fit each other.
What are you keeping me here for, Ranger? You heard what the lab man said. My hands are clean. Wasn't no nitrate on them.
That doesn't settle everything, Hammer. While he had you in the next room going over your hands, I had a phone report from Austin on your gun.
You'd better talk up, Hammer. Your gun's been identified as a murder weapon.
That's a lie!
You weren't in bed at 10 o'clock last night. You and Purdy driving a stolen car, and there was a woman with you.
That ain't so, I tell you!
You run around with any blonde women?
The only blonde woman I ever run around with was my wife. She died 6 years ago. That gun was missing from my house last night. Somebody must have taken it, then put it back again.
Oh, sure.
My hands was clean, wasn't they?
Howdy, Jay. Sheriff.
Oh, Tommy, I almost forgot about you.
Did you find anything, Tommy?
I think so. There's a five and dime store. It was closed when I got to it, but I got the address of the woman who works the cosmetic counter. Went out to see her. They handle the lipstick and pins we've been checking on. She gave me the names of a few women that she remembers who buy both. Here's the list.
We'll read off the names, Jace. Maybe if Hammer's girlfriend is listed, he'll admit he knows her.
There's one name on here you'll admit to knowing, all right.
That's what you think.
That's what I know. It's your daughter, Ruby Hammer. The sheriff and I drove Hammer back to his house, but Ruby wasn't there. We waited around, looking through the house.
First you tried to pin it on to me, and now it's my daughter. Are you crazy? She's only 18 years old.
Was she with you last night?
No, she was out on a date.
With who?
Well, how should I know? All I know is she wouldn't get into no trouble like this.
I've heard that same speech in 100 courtrooms, Hammer.
Jase, come here a minute.
Yeah? What is it?
Girl's coat in this closet. Smell.
You keep any liquor in the house, Hammer?
No, never.
There's something else, Jase. Photograph.
Yeah. Hammer's daughter and some boy.
Let me see that again. I know this kid, the boy. I sent him to reform school 3 years ago. His name's Chuck Allenby.
What was the charge against him?
Something that fits this case like a glove. Automobile theft.
My daughter wouldn't go out with nobody like that.
Of course not, Hammer. She's just got a habit of posing for pictures with people she wouldn't go out with. I'm going to get my car out of sight, Frank, and we'll sit down and wait for Ruby's date to bring her home. Yeah, I hear him. It's after midnight. They'll think you're at work, Hammer. They may come in, so keep quiet. Hear me? You hear me?
Yeah. I hear you. They're coming.
Yeah, quiet. They have to come into the hall. They won't see us in the living room with the lights off.
I can't see nothing, Ruby. Switch on the light.
You ain't staying long enough to need the light.
Oh,
you
now, what's the matter with you?
What's the good of having money if you ain't going to spend any of it?
Spend it? But wait a while. I ain't got a job. I start spending money and people's going to wonder where I got it.
All right. While you're waiting, don't expect me to wait. I can go out with somebody else, you know, somebody who's got a car every night or who ain't afraid to get...
Ruby! Ruby, shut up!
Don't move anybody.
That means you, Charles. Let go of that door.
What are they doing here, Paul?
Stay after him.
You stay out of this, Hammer.
Couldn't stay out of trouble, could you, Chuck?
I didn't do nothing, Sheriff. Let me go.
Hold still. That's quite a roll of bills you had in your pocket, boy.
I found that money.
Where? In a cash register over in Purdy, after you killed an old man?
So that's why you wanted my father's gun. What are you...
Tell him, Ruby. If he had my gun, you tell him.
Last night, he wanted to borrow it just for fun, he said. And then he stole a car and made me go with him over to Purdy. He let me park someplace and walked away. And then after a while, he come back with some whiskey. I didn't drink none of it, but he did. He's lying.
You keep quiet. You say he didn't park near the store?
No. He walked from where he left me. I don't even know what he done.
You're lying, Ruby. When the old man was killed, whoever gunned him ran out of the store with a dripping bottle and got into a car not more than 10 feet from the entrance.
And I didn't shoot him. He did.
He's lying. Ruby's only a little girl. You can prove he's lying. Give him the same test you give me on his hands.
What kind of test?
Well, they pour wax on your hands. You can tell if you fired a gun.
Oh, Ruby, come back here. Hold still, Chuck.
Get away from that stove, Ruby.
No, Ruby, don't.
Come away from there.
Oh, Ruby. Ruby, why'd you do it, Ruby? What'd you do it
better
for?
Better save that hammer. If you got any butter, get it fast.
Yeah.
Sudden move, Chuck.
I won't try nothing.
What'd you do, Jason?
Ran into the kitchen here and pulled the lid off the cook stove and jammed her hand into the hot coals.
Here's the butter, Ranger. Here's the butter.
Thanks.
Oh, Ruby.
I can fix that burn a little with this, Ruby. Doc can fix it for you better later on at the jail.
Chuck Allenby and Ruby Hammer were found guilty of the murder of storekeeper Barnes. Allenby, who turned state's witness, was sentenced to a 30-year term at Huntsville. Ruby Hammer pulled 50 years in a women's prison at Gorey.
And now, here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Folks, tonight marks the concluding performance, for a while at least, of Tales of the Texas Rangers. We've really enjoyed bringing these stories to you and hope that someday we'll be back with you again. To NBC and its affiliated stations, to Colonel Homer Garrison, Jr., Chief of the Texas Rangers, to Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez, our technical advisor, and to all the Texas Rangers and members of the Department of Public Safety, our grateful thanks. And we're particularly grateful to those of you who've taken the time to send us your cards and letters. After all, they are the only sure way of telling that you liked our show. Thanks, folks. Thanks a lot. Good night.
You have just heard Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. Tonight's case included Tony Barrett, Sam Edwards, Peggy Weber, John Frank, Barney Phillips, and Bill Johnstone. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday, starring Joel McRae, an episode from NBC from May 27, 1951. And this hour of Radio Westerns has come to a close on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.